Underwater? Upside down? Do these terms describe your current mortgage situation? Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans to tell you that it may be time to get HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance at a lower rate even if your home has lost value. Millions of homeowners are eligible for this program right now, including hundreds of thousands who currently have a mortgage with Bank of America. That's right, hundreds of thousands of Bank of America clients are eligible for HARP and have not yet taken advantage of this opportunity. Quicken Loans may be able to help. To learn if you're eligible to get HARPed, log on to quickenloans.com and click on our easy-to-use HARP tool. But you've got to act right now. This unique program is scheduled to end at the end of the year, and I don't want you to miss out. Once again, if you owe more than your home is worth, or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, call Quicken Loans right now at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. We're engineered to amaze.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're live here in our not glass enclosed studio, WFED. We always bill this as a food and wine variety show, and we probably have never had this much variety on any given show. There's a lot going on. You want to talk about Cochon first?
Well, for those of you who don't know, and I don't know how that would be possible, but today is Cochon, five pigs, five chefs, five pinots, and bourbon, lots and lots of bourbon. It starts today at 4 o'clock. I'm actually a judge. I have been every year. And some of the best chefs in the city are participating, and it is a ton of fabulous porkalicious food. And if you haven't gotten your tickets, I hear there's a couple left. I would totally grab them now.
At the very least, I would like a doggy bag or a piggy bag.
Yeah, you're not
all
getting
right,
anything.
So, thanks a lot. I love you too. All right, so edible cars. Anybody heard of that one? Almost. Dr. Ellen Lee is a Ford Motor Company scientist who's figuring out how to replace petroleum-based products, all that goopy stuff, with alternative composites that come from the food we eat. Pretty interesting stuff. Ford Motor Company is big on that. And she'll be on the phone with us. And Richard Ayers, who's also on the marketing side of the Ford sustainability team, is in. And we're going to talk about how all of that can actually change the cars we drive and the air that we breathe.
Well, and I think that really relates to a lot of the food kind of topics that we talk about in here when we bring in the farmers markets and we talk about eating better and sustainably. I mean, it all goes hand in hand. So I'm very excited for the conversation.
I just don't want to sit on a banana. That's all I'm saying right here.
I don't even know where to go with that one. Okay. So, as many of you who listen know, food is definitely my passion, but second place is definitely clothes and shoes. And spring trends are all over the place right now, and we figured what better time to talk about it, like on a day like today. This is perfect for it. We got cherry blossoms in season. It's going to be 80 degrees in 3 days. So we brought in Saks Fifth Avenue from Tyson's. They are here with Brigitte Schmidt and the new Bar Beauty. Did I pronounce it right?
Beauty Bar, yes.
Beauty Bar. Okay, thank you. All right, sorry. Well, it says Bar Beauty here. And stylist April Yvonne, who is in, she does My DC Style. And they have brought in a tremendous amount of gorgeous clothes, fabulous makeup. We are going to get the 411 on all of it.
All right, you want me to say something?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so Jackie Barnett's with us. She's in with the folks from In Christie Shoes. This is a huge fundraiser that's happening tonight. To raise lots of money for disadvantaged women. And Jackie's going to not only tell us all about it, but you're going to find out how you can go tonight.
Right.
Should I break
in? Are there still some tickets? Mm-hmm. Still a couple tickets.
Three
okay,
four.
Very
all right,
cool. All right, good.
All right. And Brian Nold is the founder and owner of Breckenridge Distillery in Breckenridge, Colorado. He looks like a Marlboro man. And,
no, he doesn't.
Well, I just, you know, I want to.
I don't
radio,
even know what that means.
Radio is theater of the mind. So, and Breckenridge is going to be pouring tonight at Koshaw.
Whose mind, I guess, is the question.
The minds of our millions of listeners.
Right.
But he'll be pouring tonight, but he's in the studio now to pour some of his bourbons for us today, yeah?
Come up to the mic.
Step up to the mic, Brian.
Here we go.
So, really, tell us about Breckenridge and how do you start a distillery?
Usually starts with a bender that you went on with a buddy.
Wait. I thought that's what happened last night.
Oh, no, you're right. My story's right.
Right.
Well, we started Breckenridge Distillery in 2007, and it was a collaboration between me and this fantastic distiller named Jordan Vai, who's a super talented former Napa Valley winemaker. So we started Breckenridge Distillery, make a lot of interesting products, vodka, bourbon, rum, spiced rum.
Yeah, but how do you do that?
Well, not only that, but what were you looking to do? I mean, were you like, there's not enough bourbon to drink out there? I need more? I mean, what was it that you were looking to do?
Yeah, this all started from a really sick passion for whiskey. I really like single malt and rye whiskeys in particular. And like all good things, I was fishing one day up above Breckenridge with a buddy, and he was an ER doc.
Okay, you just lost me. What?
So, well, that's how the whole thing started.
Okay.
From a fishing trip. Mm-hmm. I was fishing. I was talking about
whiskey. I thought like he was like fishing. I didn't understand what he meant. Like he was
said,
actually
was
fishing.
On
do you know what I mean? Like fishing for a compliment. Like I was fishing for something. I didn't know where you were going. Okay, now I get it. So you were actually physically fishing. Okay.
Yeah, I was fishing, and he's an ER doc in Vail. He said, "What can I do to get out of medicine?" And I said, "What can I do to drink more whiskey?" And I don't know. That's how it all started. So.
Okay, so what were you looking to do with your whiskeys? I mean, what is it about your whiskeys that are so spectacular?
They're always well balanced. Mm-hmm. We have a great water source in Breckenridge that most people don't get access to. So it's the snow melts off the Continental Divide and then we get it. No one, it's not been in somebody before. So we have fresh water.
Okay, that's
water.
So disgusting.
Daughter it is party disgusting.
It is disgusting, but that's what you're drinking out there. So we have this great water, and it has this.
Wait a second.
I will never
back
drink
up.
Water again.
What?
Now.
Go ahead. So you're saying, so your water is pure and fresh.
Yeah. And it has a lot of mineral content in it. So, we have this luscious mouthfeel with everything we make. We really kind of have our own terroir for spirits because of the water. And if you look at a bottle of vodka, like this one, Breckenridge Vodka, it's 80 proof. So it's 40% alcohol, which means 60% of it is just water. And so most people just strip their water down to completely nothing. So it's flavorless, tasteless. There's nothing going on in it. So if you're able to preserve that with a great water source, as you can imagine, it makes a huge impact on what you're drinking.
Well, you bring up a good point. How did you go from just wanting to make an incredible whiskey, rye, bourbon drink, and now you have a variety of products? So how did you expand?
We do. It's all Jordan's fault.
Okay. he's not here to defend himself.
No, he's not. No, but he's a master.
He's home drinking.
Oh, I'm sure he is. He's a master of flavors. Mm-hmm. And so putting things together, we just have an enormous portfolio now. We distribute vodka and bourbon and Breckenridge bitters, but we make about 25 or 30 different products that people will actually come to the distillery just to get. We sell it out of there, and that's the only place you can get it.
Okay. Now, are your products available now? They're not available in D.C., right?
Not in D.C. yet, but they will be this year. So.
Okay, so you're here today, not just because you love us and you want to be on Foodie and the Beast,
that's right.
But you're here for Koshaan.
We are.
You're partnering with them and Brady Lowe.
Definitely, yeah. So Brady and I are friends. What he's doing with heritage breed pork and everything else local, integrating chefs is something that I'm pretty passionate about as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we got hooked up last year during Aspen Food and Wine.
Okay.
And did some boozy stuff together. And so this year we decided
That sounds so unlike Brady. I can't even begin to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he's at church right now.
I'm sure he's at church right now.
Or synagogue.
He's at an altar, that's for sure.
So we decided this year to do a nationwide cocktail competition. It was something I wanted to do, and Brady is the master of events. So I'm like, what can I do nationwide? And so I went to Brady, and Brady said, hey, let's roll it into Koshaan. So we did, as part of the 10-city Koshaan 555 tour, we brought in a competition called Punch Kings, whereby we will take five or six of the best local bartenders and put them up against each other with one bowl of punch, one bottle of Breckenridge bourbon, and all their creativity. And each city
has... You supply the punch?
We supply them with a bowl.
Okay.
And a bottle of Breckenridge bourbon.
Okay, and the rest is up to them.
Yeah, they bring it in. Okay. And then each city of the 10 cities will have one winner.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring them all to Denver to compete, so we pick one or two.
Okay.
That will then go at it during the Food and Wine Classic this summer in Aspen.
I mean, it's a pretty good deal.
Oh,
now, who
awesome.
Is participating locally?
This week, we have some great mixologists. We have Todd
Dan
Thrasher.
Yeah.
Todd is competing.
Todd Thrasher.
From Restaurant Eve. Okay.
Owen Thompson.
From Range, Brian Faltaggio's restaurant.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Ed Jenks. He's from Vidalia, I believe.
Yep. Oh, okay. Jeff Boobin's restaurant. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Jung Ah Park.
Oh, from Dakaya.
And Jack Geary.
Mm-hmm.
He is from Brixton.
Oh, from the Brixton. Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's a good group of people. So how much are they making? I mean, are they making for enough for all the participants to taste?
They'll make one giant punch bowl.
Okay.
And the VIP people get in first, and they usually, you know, beat it up pretty hard, but there's always some left for everybody else. But they will run out pretty quick. So,
I'm sure.
Yeah, if you're coming and you get in there, make a beeline for Punch Kings.
Now, let me ask you, is your bourbon... I'm judging today, so not the Punch Kings, I'm judging the pig.
Mm-hmm.
Is your bourbon available throughout the event for people to try?
Yeah, it will have a Manhattan bar with several different bourbons, ours and a couple other distilleries.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you come over to the Punch Kings area, we'll have some bourbon there as well.
Okay.
And yeah, and if you follow us to the after party, I don't know where that is.
Well, I do. There's two after parties. There's the after party at 8 and the after party at 11. It's going to be a long night.
There always is. Yes.
And I have no interest in the after party at 4.
Right.
So, all right, let's start. What do you want to start pouring for us today? Like,
well,
what should we taste first?
Yeah, we'll get your palate working in the right direction here. So,
okay.
We'll start with some award-winning Breckenridge vodka. It's made from corn. It's not a totally neutral vodka. It actually has some flavor to it, which I think you'll probably find interesting.
Okay. You like ready? Like, what's the flavor like?
Well, and this is really coming again from our water source.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you're going to notice is that when it
hits
your
tongue...
I feel
like you should have brought some water so we could have tasted the water. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd like to taste water that hasn't been in someone before.
I know.
I'll bring it next time.
Honest to God, I will never drink water again. That's it.
All right. Yeah, so the thing you'll notice about this vodka is it's naturally sweet, no sugar added to it. So
okay.
It's going to hit your mouth, and you're going to have this nice, rich mouthfeel that you'll get with all our products. And then you're going to taste a little bit of citrus, floral, and berry.
Okay, great.
It's very elegant.
Why don't you stop pouring that, and we'll all sip it in studio while you do that. And then we'll come back to you later on in the show. What? You're looking confused?
Yeah, well, I have one more question.
Okay.
When you say you want to start a distillery, I mean, did you guys have any idea of what to do, really? I mean, you're talking about a winemaker, so he's got some experience. It's like he came over to the dark side. But, I mean,
yeah.
What do you do?
He had already crossed over to the dark side, actually. He had left wine and was distilling and teaching the distillation courses for the American Distilling Institute.
All right, so it wasn't one of these things where two people had to learn on the fly. He knew what was happening.
Yeah.
All right.
Jordan, he was already the master. So I just wooed him. I got him drunk and wooed him.
You seem so proud of that.
Yeah, it's an accomplishment.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and pour some vodka? And I do think, why don't we bring over, we'll get Dr. Lee on the phone when we take a commercial break, but why don't we do the introduction right now?
Well,
we have a minute or two.
Richard, come on over and
Richard,
step up.
Come
to
have
the microphone.
A seat. He won't bite you,
All
I
right.
promise.
I won't bite you. All right. So one of the things we mentioned earlier, Richard Ayers is with the marketing side of Ford Motor Company, I guess in this region, right? Right, Richard?
That's correct, yeah.
And he's really focused on Ford's new thrust for sustainability and greenability, if you will, in car manufacturing. And we're going to hear more about that from Richard and from Dr. Ellen Lee when we get her on the phone. And one day there'll be an edible car, won't there?
We probably won't take it that far, but...
It'll go from this car eats it to let's eat the car. All right. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know you can eat great food and support a wonderful organization at the same time? Then join Foodie and the Beast when they broadcast live on April 28th at the Carpenters Cook-Off at the Birchmere in Alexandria. The Carpenters Cook-Off is the annual Foodie Fest fundraiser for Carpenters Shelter, providing assistance to thousands of homeless folks seeking sustainable, stable independence. For info and tickets, visit carpenterscookoff.com or tweet at cookoff2013.
Sometimes pain and depression can lead a person to take their own life. Talking with someone who understands can make a difference. Call the suicide hotline now. 855-320-5433. That's 855-320-LIFE. You talk, we listen. Together we survive. 855-320-5433 in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. This message is brought to you by Metro and the D.C. Department of Mental Health.
Escape the everyday to the close-by Early Mountain Vineyards in Madison, Virginia. A relaxing getaway just a short drive from D.C., it has an award-winning tasting room, breathtaking views of the Blue Ridge, and the best of Virginia wines, locally grown food, live music, and slow sunsets. Visit earlymountain.com or follow them on Twitter at Early Mountain. Mention Foodie and the Beast and this ad for a free flight of wines at your next visit.
Join thousands of volunteers for Servathon 2013 on April 26th and 27th. Like a walkathon or a marathon, Servathon is a community event that encourages all to help others through volunteering. Paint a school, landscape a garden, build a playground, clean a park, or spend time with seniors, all on April 26th and 27th. Learn more at greaterdccares.org or register at servathon2013.quintera.org. Sign up today. Servathon 2013 is sponsored by Hands On Greater DC Cares.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we just sampled some Breckenridge Distillery vodka, which was...
It was really sippable.
It went down...
Did everybody like it? We have a whole studio full.
Wait. Was I supposed to sip?
No, but...
Gulp.
But it was a little more gin-like, because you could really taste the botanicals. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are you going to pour next?
What are you pouring next?
Let's mix it up.
We're on a roll. Let's go.
Let's jump into the bourbon.
Okay, let's do it.
Say?
I'm
let's
in.
It.
All right.
Let's pour
that.
Our cups.
Okay.
And we're going to turn to, a very pithy subject. Dr. Lee, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Hello,
Hi, Dr.
good
Lee.
Morning.
Hi, how are you?
All right, we're well, thanks. So for everybody, Dr. Ellen Lee is a scientist working with the Ford Motor Company's sustainability team. She's also an avid gardener, and we're about to find out how the two pursuits dovetail, giving her team the ability to make cars that are greener and cleaner. We also just a couple of minutes ago introduced Richard Ayers, who's on the marketing side of Ford. And Dr. Lee, let's start with you. I mean, how can food help make greener and cleaner cars? How are you doing that?
Well, I'm a team of scientists at the research lab, and we're looking at ways we can introduce renewable or things that you can grow ingredients into some of the materials that go into our vehicles to make them greener from the inside out. You know, of course, a lot of our scientists and engineers are working on looking at technologies for improving fuel economy and the drivability in the powertrain. But we're looking at those materials. So what we've been doing is concentrating on those things that we could grow in the garden.
Well, our son is constantly looking to hide his Brussels sprouts. Should he stuff them in the car seat now?
Well, when you say you're looking in the garden, are we talking about composting? Are we looking to find new ways to use compost? I mean, what's your strategy? What are you working on?
Well, what we do is we're concentrating on things that are byproducts or co-products. So, for example, the wheat straw that comes from the wheat plant after the grain is harvested off, mm-hmm. that would normally either be composted into the ground or burned on the field in some cases. And we're trying to combine those with the materials that we currently use to make them durable enough to make them into plastic or composite parts that go into our cars. So, for example, if you look in the interior of your vehicle, pretty much everything you interact with is a plastic or composite polymeric material that's right now derived from petroleum. And what we'd like to do is use less petroleum and derive some of these things from oils from soy, for example, corn, sugars, or fibers like wheat straw to reinforce the plastics to make them strong enough for the functions that they need to be in the car.
So are you constantly experimenting? I mean, I saw that you use soy in some of the research materials that we got our hands on, but is that basically how you spend your days trying to figure out what organic, what plant materials are going to work and what aren't?
Exactly. So our real goal is to use as much renewable content as we can to keep our vehicles more sustainable. Things like soybean oils, some chemistry can be done to them to make them react like a petroleum-based material to, for example, make a foam that goes into the seat in your cars. And currently, all of the cars that we produce in North America do have soybean oil in the seat formulations. So that took several years to formulate and develop so that it could meet all of the performance specifications and the durability and be just like the petroleum-based material, but be more environmentally friendly. So we're able to reduce, right now with all the vehicles that use soy seats, mm-hmm. we're able to divert over 5 million pounds of petroleum by just using the oil from soybeans.
Okay, so if you're filling the seats with this soybean-based foam, when the cars are done and the seats are done, do they deteriorate easier? Do they clearly don't cause the same sort of problems for the environment?
Well, that's something that we're looking at. Right now, they're just as durable as the foam that's based on petroleum. So
okay.
they're not biodegradable just
okay.
because they're using soybean oil.
Mm-hmm.
But we are also at the same time looking at technologies to break down the materials with a chemical reaction so that we can recycle them into new foams again.
Oh, okay.
So that's another thing that we're looking at, and that can be done with a petroleum-based foam or a soybean oil-based foam.
Well, let me ask Richard, where is Ford using all these products? I mean, Ford's big push is on cleaner and greener. What happened to Ford Strong?
Right. Well, so yeah,
no, Ford is green. Ford edible.
Ford is still, you know, built Ford tough, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, I think what's really interesting about this topic is, you know, most consumers are focused on miles per gallon, fuel economy, that kind of thing. But you know, the fact is that Ford is going further, and we're doing that by looking at, you know, different ways to save petroleum. Exactly what Dr. Lee is talking about. As far as the interior parts, all the composites that we use in the vehicles, it's just fascinating, and it's a whole world of scientists, you know, that are researching this, like Dr. Lee, and you know, I think it's something that consumers, you know, should maybe be more aware of, you know, that that these products are offered, and that Ford is really leading the charge on it.
Well, the fact that you're reducing a car's carbon footprint with parts as opposed to just the way the engine functions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whole other way of going at it.
It is, and you know, you're thinking much more about the vehicle as a whole and your impact, I guess, on the environment as a whole. When you purchase a vehicle, it's not just what comes out of the tailpipe; it's, you know, what the vehicle's made out of
and what goes into it.
Exactly.
This is for both of you, Dr. Lee and Richard. What is wrong with the petroleum part? I mean, what, for people who don't understand the difference, what is it that's wrong with it that is not what we should be putting into our cars? And why are we looking for these alternatives? For what purpose? And what does it do for us and for the environment?
Well, there's no question that the plastics and composites based on petroleum are very good materials. They're very durable. They do what we need them to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that petroleum is a fossil fuel. It's non-renewable. You know, it takes millions and millions of years to turn renewable carbon into a fossil fuel like petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is petroleum is getting harder and harder to extract from the earth. A lot of processes that you need to extract these the petroleum products are kind of damaging to the environment. And so what we're looking at is if we can use a waste product or a waste stream or a byproduct stream that's renewable that can take the place of that petroleum, it's better for the environment, it's more sustainable, and in the end, it may even turn out to be cheaper. You know, petroleum prices have been constantly on the rise. We always
mm-hmm.
we all see that at the pump whenever we go fill up our vehicles. So that's really what we're looking at, why we're trying to reduce the petroleum that we're using.
And Dr. Lee, what are some of the newer things what can you share with us about some of the newer items that we could possibly see in the next coming years? Like, what does the future hold?
Well, we're looking at everything. So again, we've looked at coconut fibers. The husks of the coconut have very strong fibers that
mm-hmm.
are kind of naturally resistant to flammability.
I swear to everyone, I was just going to ask about coconuts, all that hair on them.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking at whether there's ways to take advantage of some of the natural attributes that some of these products have. We're looking at, if you can believe it, dandelions. Because
the flower or the green?
Actually, the roots of the dandelions, and a special type, too. It's a Russian dandelion. Mm-hmm. It produces a latex material that's very similar to natural rubber. Now, you know, natural rubber is a plant. It can grow, but a lot of the practices are not very sustainable, and it's most of the rubber that we get is from Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. And so the Russian dandelion can not only be grown in Russia, but can be grown domestically as well. So it's a source that we can use that's a local source that may help us to improve the sustainability of our composites or elastomeric materials like rubber and tires in the future.
That is wild. Well, I'm sort of like starstruck by it. That is very, very cool.
I'm going to go out and bite my car.
It's so funny because we went out to visit a university that's doing some of this research, and they had greenhouses where they were growing dandelions. And they look just like the dandelions that we all have in our yards. And they were talking about how they weed the beds to get rid of the weeds.
To save the dandelions.
That's
so
amazing.
Is it not unthinkable that down the road, things like bumpers and you know, door handles and all that will actually be able to be made out of some kind of plant-based composite?
It's already happening. We have some in our vehicles already, and
really?
We're just putting more and more in as the technologies mature.
Well, so Richard, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, where are, you know, I know the Ford Fusion is like your eco car. Tell us how you're incorporating these things into it.
Well, the Fusion is a very eco-conscious car. I would agree. I mean, it comes in, first of all, it gets great fuel economy. If you get the EcoBoost engine, you know, best-in-class fuel economy with the 1.6 liter or the 2
Sounds
liter.
Sounds like a commercial.
but I do want to say, but there's also a hybrid version now in Fusion, and there's also the Fusion Energy, which is a plug-in hybrid. So, you know,
can you just quickly explain for people who, I mean, it sounds like everybody should know what those words mean.
Sure.
But for those who don't, can you explain how it works?
Yeah. So a hybrid really actually combines battery technology and an electric motor with a standard gasoline engine. Typically, the gasoline engine can be smaller and it gets better fuel economy by combining those two technologies. A plug-in hybrid is the same thing, but it offers you the chance to also plug it into your wall. And it also has a larger battery pack. So you actually extend your range up to, you know, 600 miles or so on a full charge and a full tank.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about the two cars we're driving.
I know.
Kill me now.
Right.
All right. I guess the other question is for down the road, like way down the road. You know, Nikki was asking, what are you working on next? But where can this take us? I guess, Dr. Lee, you're the one to ask this. I mean, how far can this go?
I don't. There's over 300 pounds of petroleum-based plastic and composite materials in the average vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going after all of that, at least some portion of it. So, you know, our goal is to replace all the petroleum-based plastic with a renewably sourced plastic or with something that maybe once was derived from a renewable resource and then recycled over and over again. So, you know, recyclability is a big part of our sustainability program as well. And so we're looking to recycle those petroleum-based plastics as well as the renewably-based plastics. So, I mean, I think we can touch every single part of those petroleum-based plastics in the vehicle. You know, we can't replace the metals right now, but maybe we can think of ways to change the designs or, you know, with some of these battery technologies, we may not need that combustion engine. So even in those vehicles, we could have a greater effect in sustainable materials.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I was going to ask about recycling, and then I wanted to know how all of that worked together with safety. I mean, because safety clearly is a priority as well as being eco-friendly. So is recycling materials, are we laxing our safety at all?
No, not at all. Safety is one of our biggest concerns for our vehicles. So a lot of these developing technologies, we have to make sure that they meet all of our safety requirements as well as our performance requirements, as well as the durability. You know, everyone wants to keep their vehicles, wants them to last at least 10 years or 100,000 miles in service. So we need to make sure that, you know, we don't compromise any of those things that our customers are really going to, you know, to value, to understand. And safety is one of those things that we definitely cannot compromise with these new recycled and renewable materials.
All right. Well, we've got one more second here. Richard, I guess the last question for you is because I'm in marketing as well. So we'll go drink some bourbon when we're done. But, I mean, when will we start hearing About, I mean, the soybean foam, if I'm saying it, the soybean oil foam that I'm hearing about is not anything I've heard about in advertising. Is it considered something that's too kind of touchy-feely yet for Ford to tout that way?
I don't think so at all, actually. I mean, I think, you know, if we have limited time to talk about something, we talk about fuel economy and we talk about our power of choice, which is all those different engine technologies that I talked about. But I think, you know, when you get in a little deeper as a customer and you start reading the brochures, all of our brochures, you know, talk about all the sustainable materials, all the different technologies that we're putting in to make our products greener.
Cool. And I think more and more people are interested in it. I mean, definitely. I am personally. Dr. Lee, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We are talking spring trends and drinking more bourbon. We'll be back in just a sec.
There's a sea change going on now, and you're seeing the slow death of the desktop. Microsoft, they defined their future in terms of mobile. You know, Windows 8 came out, it supports all the touch screen. They've got the Windows Surface portable device. Google has a portable device. Of course, everybody's trying to play catch up with Apple. And so now we are moving into an accelerated phase of the post-PC.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Hi, everybody. It's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show. Tune in next Sunday and every Sunday at 11 right here on 1500 and 820 a.m. to hear the latest from the food and wine scene. We've got celebrity chefs, sommeliers, winemakers, and more all here to tell you about the inside skinny that you won't find anywhere else. That's Foodie and the Beast this Sunday at 11.
D.C. Emancipation Day is Tuesday, April 16th. To commemorate this historic day, a series of activities will include an 11 a.m. parade down Pennsylvania Avenue, educational workshops in the John Wilson District Building starting at 1:30 p.m., a concert on Freedom Plaza featuring Kirk Franklin starting at 4 p.m., and an 8:30 p.m. fireworks show. Don't miss the D.C. Emancipation Day Great Debate 2 on Sunday, April 14th at the Lincoln Theater at 6 p.m.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. During the break, I had a bite of a Ford bumper. Delish. Loved it. And I ate me some soybean.
It's some soybean.
All right, let's go back to Brian Holt, who is slowly getting the entire studio inebriated.
You were walking around with a little bottle, but what's in it?
I did, yeah. So we made our way through the Breckenridge Bourbon, okay. Bourbon of the Year at the International Whiskey Competition this year. Now, mm-hmm. We're moving on to something super naughty.
Okay.
It's a product you can only get in Colorado, mm-hmm. although we might let a few cases come into the market here, and it's okay. Our spiced rum.
We're in Kensington, Maryland, by the way, if you let it into
the... We'll give you our address at the end of the show.
Oh, got it.
Okay. Spiced rum.
Spiced rum, yeah. So this is a turbinado sugar-based rum that we make in the distillery, and then we spice it with about 15 different roots, herbs, spices, bitter orange peels, things like that.
Is spiced rum something that more and more mixologists are using in their cocktails, or is this just a sipping drink? What do you think?
Yeah, this is more of one. It's just too good to put in
too
something.
Good on its own.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's a sipper. This is drinking around the campfire, sitting on the slope side.
Is this one of those fishing things again? Are we going fishing again?
You know, understand, where we live, if you start a campfire, you start a fire. Okay, so we ain't got no campfire. We got those sissy little things, those outdoor fire pits, mm-hmm. where everybody sits around and goes, oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, close your eyes and take a drink, and you'll be on the side of the mountain with us.
Okay.
With the Donner Party.
You could be in Saks Fifth Avenue looking at gorgeous clothes.
Oh,
I'm going to go with that.
Segue.
There we go. All right. Well, you can introduce everybody because I'm going to be asking all the questions.
We're going to turn from bourbon and cars to style and makeup. Okay. Brigitte Schmidt is with the new Beauty Bar.
Beauty Bar.
Said it right. Look at that. At Saks Fifth Avenue at the gallery at Tyson's Corner. And with her is a local stylist and blogging star to the stars,
mm-hmm.
April Levon.
Thank you.
Ladies, I'm going to turn this over to my wife because I don't know nothing.
Okay. Why don't you both come up to the microphones, please? Thank you.
There we go.
Okay. So spring is clearly here. It's about 100 degrees in the studio. But there's so many trends going on right now. April, I'm going to start with you because I already see your clothes over there. Black and white is huge. And you're seeing it everywhere on the runways from like the highest end to the lowest end of clothes. Black and white. And then also there's a lot of like florals. Florals seem very big in pants and dresses. Tell us about these trends and how do you think DC women are going to be wearing them?
Well, what you said is absolutely right and on trend. DC women, I think the important thing for them is it needs to go from desk to dinner. If they're working in the office, whatever they're doing in their daytime, they need to be able to make it wearable and versatile from day to evening.
Okay.
And so with these trends, they don't, of course, have to look like they do on the runways. At the end of the day, the designers bring out things that are very wearable. So you mentioned black and white. Another huge trend, of course, are stripes.
Right.
And one of these dresses I brought in by Theory, it incorporates your stripes as well as the black and white trend. This is something, it's a jersey knit, so you can easily wear a sharp, crisp white blazer over it.
Okay.
Or since it is black and white, you can do any color. You can do a royal blue.
Well, let's talk about stripes. So I think a lot of women are intimidated by them, especially a horizontal stripe.
Absolutely. So with this dress, it does have horizontal stripes. What I tell my clients all the time is make sure if you feel like widening happens when they are horizontal. So try to cover it with a blazer so that you're adding like a side paneling on your side. And then that distracts and it makes a nice silhouette.
What? What do you have to say?
If I wore it, I'd have to wear a tarp over it.
Yeah.
But I have a question. Because
we're not putting you in stripes.
Many
worry.
Moons ago, I was in ready to wear retail. And Washington always had a reputation for being kind of a dowdy, boring fashion city. And are you finding a greater acceptance and less resistance to things that are zetier, the things that you might see in New York on the street as opposed to what you used to see here?
Absolutely. I myself worked at the State Department in my former career. So I saw the drab and boring looks. And then I saw the transition into women wearing bold colors and things you would see women in the offices in New York wearing walking on the streets. There's a way to do it that's still, you know, tastefully done for the office and not too edgy. So you can combine the two and get a really happy medium.
But also, don't you think, I mean, the hill is the hill and people are going to dress the way they have to dress up there. I mean, the white tights and that whole thing. But you know, D.C. has become more cultural.
Pish-tosh.
Well, I mean, it just is
down
there.
I'm wearing white tights right now.
No, but I mean, D.C. has become more cultural. The restaurant scene has exploded. The drinking scene has exploded. The art scene is exploding. And that brings around people who are going to want to dress, don't you think?
And the designers are created. Many of the designers, like the creative director of Christian Dior, he loves art. So what you'll see is you'll see pieces of art in the clothing, and that trickles down into Macy's and Nordstrom's. So all the prints the women are wearing, they're sometimes inspired by Impressionism and whatnot. So what you can do is you're seeing people in DC grab onto this, and they'll just throw on one of these print blazers over a tailored, structured black knee length dress and pantyhose for the office.
Okay. Let's tell you pantyhose.
Black sheer pantyhose. Okay. No, white.
No white. let's talk about, you have that beautiful color right there, the coral. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about electric hues. This is a gorgeous orange color. It's from Diane von Furstenberg. So again, this is something that the woman in DC could easily wear in the office or out to dinner over white, over a black dress, over a pants and top. And again, this is just, you, accessories are everything. So when you're wearing, like I wear all black today, you can make the outfit pop by adding color and, you know, your jacket or your shoes or your purse. Another trend that I brought, again, with the florals.
Right.
I love this designer, Rebecca Taylor. She's done a really nice cropped jacket. It's a floral jacket, blazer. And what she's done here at the bottom, you'll see, is created a peplum flare.
It's beautiful.
One of my favorite things, having not just had a baby, but just starting to work out after having a baby, is peplum. It hides those areas on the sides that ladies want to use Spanx for. Peplum will fix that because it hides.
Men want to use Spanx too, you know. It's not just the ladies. and let's talk about one last one, and then I want to get over to Brigitte.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about lace, because lace is everywhere. And I think one of the issues some women have with lace, except for that dress, which is stunning, is how to wear it without it looking cheap.
Okay, well,
because lace can look cheap
if you get it the wrong way, especially black. And I know what you're referring to. It can look cheap or it can just look too sexy. So what designers have done is they've kind of layered up with the lace. So you'll find underneath covered with lace. So like underneath this lace dress by Badly Mishka.
That dress is gorgeous.
It's like a yellow dress underneath, right?
What size is that?
This is a 10. Okay.
And then it would fit me.
You didn't bring dresses in my size?
I know. Well, I didn't want to tempt you today, but okay. So he covered
you.
It. So.
I got in touch in advance.
You're
it's
welcome.
Stunning. It's beautiful.
So, and he covered it in cream lace, and of course it's fitted. So this is as classic and elegant as it gets. It kind of reminiscent, not reminiscent, but like Kate Middleton. You know, very prim and proper, and then an open back.
Sexy in the back.
And the good thing about lace, I just want to add, it's a forever trend. These types of dresses, you can pull them out of the closet years down the road, and it'll be still be a classic trend.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that when I bring the dress home. And he's like, what?
No, and then... No, please. Okay. And then she'll say 2 years from now.
I can wear
I've had this for 2 years.
Right.
Come on up to the mic, please. Okay. So... One of my biggest complaints has always been when you go to a department store, whether it's Saks or whatever, is that you're stuck when you go buy makeup. You have to go to Christian Dior. You have to go to Chanel. You have to go to NARS. Like, you're stuck at that place, and they'll do your makeup over there, and you can buy all the makeup there, and that's fine. But I am a gatherer, and I like different things, and I want the best products. And it sounds like Saks in Tysons has changed that, yes?
You are absolutely right, Nikki. And this is for all the makeup lovers, and we all know who we are.
Right. Product tours of the house. Okay.
Yes.
All the guys are leaving the room, except for Andy.
But you are absolutely right. As we flip through the magazines up until now, and we saw all those fabulous new trendy makeup products and thought, ooh, that should be good for me. I could try that. I would love that. And then decide to walk into the store and experience it. You found yourself in a situation that pretty much would put you to disappointment. Because to your point, the cosmetic industry is set up in a way so that if you are being approached by a what is called a beauty advisor in the industry... and say, yes, I guess I'll sit down and have a makeup and I'll try some of your new product. You, to your point, systematically, automatically were brought to a brand and were made up with the beautiful product of that brand and maybe even experienced some of their newest product. But you left disappointed because you didn't have... You had not had the opportunity to experience all of those products that you had seen in the magazine that were from various
So vendors. Is the beauty bar
so
like a bar?
The beauty bar is a bar, and it holds nothing but all the new trends, such as all the fabulous peacock colors in eyeshadows, such as all the fabulous...
Can I open
powerful
it?
Powerful lipsticks that should be worn with all those fabulous fashion that April just showed us.
Oh, my goodness. How does one wear? So I'm looking at this electric blue cream eyeshadow. She likes it. Jackie's like, I like that. How does one wear this?
The beauty of those new products is that contrary to the 70s, they go on very, very sheer. So you can... Build
layer.
Up as much as you want of the intensity.
Okay. Yeah. So what are some of the spring trends? What can we find at this beauty bar?
One of the things that everyone should experience is what we call the tide lining of the eye.
Okay.
Which is a way of lining your eyes with a cake liner that gets so close to the lash line that you don't see the liner, but it just makes your lashes thick and full, and it just
are we talking underneath the eye or above? You're talking both?
Under or above.
Okay, okay.
It's the liner is really put in between the lash line, in between the lashes.
Okay.
So it's very natural. You don't see the liner, but it just gives the lash line that thickness that frames beautifully your eye.
Okay.
Oh, I got to write this down.
I know, you got to write
it down.
And let's talk also about lip color. What are we seeing for lips this season?
Well, you have some very powerful color, and it is designed so that you can have a different look from the Peacock color collection, a more fresh, natural face with just the focus on the lips. Mm-hmm. And that really is beautiful with some of the vibrant colors that April was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You really should never try any of those
vibrant colors on. Wait, you got to talk in front of the mic. You have to talk in front of the mic.
You should never try any of those vibrant design clothes on unless you have a vibrant lipstick to go with it. If you ever had to try on those vibrant colors and tried it with your natural lipstick, mm-hmm. it really does not work.
Well, so for both of you, and we have to wrap up here, but just curious, what, when it comes to lipstick and clothes with the vibrant colors and the florals, are we doing matchy? Like, are we matching our lipstick to what we're wearing or no?
I think what she was pointing out, if you do an all white look, mm-hmm. you want to use that really bright
pink,
cherry red pink.
Okay.
And that is your statement and that pops in your outfit.
Okay.
But of course, if you're doing a coral, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily want to do coral lips, but you could do a lighter. Just don't overpower that shade.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay. Tell everybody where they can find this beauty bar.
The beauty bar is at Saks Fifth Avenue in Galleria mm-hmm. in Tyson's Corner. And when you call, make an appointment and mention that you want your appointment for the beauty bar.
Okay, terrific. And April, where can people find you? I mean, can people get help from you?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell everybody where they can find you, please.
Well, I have a fabulous relationship working with Saks. So you can come see me in the Fifth Avenue Club. Mm-hmm. You can call ahead and ask for me, but aprilyvonne.com is me. But again, we have a great relationship. So anything you need fashion related, we can make it happen.
Excellent.
I just add in the going green realm? Go green, that's one of the colors of the season.
Oh, fabulous.
So go green, ladies, oh, yeah. All the way.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Beauty and the Beast. We are getting in Christy's shoes when we get back. A little more fashion. We'll be back in just a sec.
Did you know that organ and tissue transplants save thousands of lives each year? Make the decision to save lives by becoming an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Registering is easy. Do it whenever obtaining or renewing your driver's license. Or register online at beadonor.org. That's beadonor.org. This is Hillary Howard. I registered to be a donor and have the heart on my driver's license to prove it. Join me and register today.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Union Market is the new year-round food market with over 40 vendors. It's DC's new spot for local taste and style. Union Market is composed of the finest food artisans, all creating a unique culinary experience. Check out their $7 lunch specials and primetime libations, Union Market's Thursday and Friday happy hours. Union Market is on 5th Street Northeast, just off Florida Avenue, with lots of free parking. Also get there on Metro's Red Line to Noma Gallaudet. Union Market's open Wednesdays through Sundays. For hours or info, visit unionmarketdc.com. Did you know you can eat great food and support a wonderful organization at the same time? Then join Foodie and the Beast when they broadcast live on April 28th at the Carpenter's Cook-Off at the Birchmere in Alexandria. The Carpenter's Cook-Off is the annual Foodie Fest fundraiser for Carpenter's Shelter, providing assistance to thousands of homeless folks seeking sustainable, stable independence. For info and tickets, visit carpenterscookoff.com or tweet at cookoff2013.
All right, we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back into the show, I just want to quickly thank everybody that makes this show possible, because without our sponsors, we are nothing, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I want to thank the folks at Georgetown Bagelry, Neighborhood Restaurant Group, the two founding farmers, Farmer Fisher and Baker down on the Georgetown Harbor, Central Farm Markets, Black's Restaurant Group, Post in the Monica Hotel, Union Market, the Carpenter Shelter, Early Mountain Vineyards, where we just did an awesome
incredible
live show.
The best live show we've done yet. I mean, we did it in front of an audience of 60
people. Don't say it's
people.
The best we've ever done, because then everybody else will be mad. But anyway.
It was our best live remote.
And our
it
next
really
best
was.
Is coming up at the National Harbor Food and Wine Festival May 4th. Is that right? 5th?
May 5th.
May 5th.
Sunday, May 5th. We're live.
Yeah, come out and see us then. All right, so now we're going to go to a whole different subject. in Christie's shoes.
Well, it's a little bit the same. We're talking about fashion and in Christie's shoes, so there's a correlation.
All right. Well, Jackie Barnett's in here to tell us about it. Let's start with the group. Who and what is in Christie's shoes?
In Christie's Shoes started 5 years ago in honor of our best friend and sister who passed away from brain cancer in 2007. Mm-hmm. Christie had the most amazing shoe collection, mm-hmm. And she was the most generous, dynamic woman that you've ever met. So we needed a way, Katrina Zeidel and Becky Sweeney, my co-founders, we all needed a way to continue to heal and to keep that generosity spreading. So we came up with this charity. And we partner with Dress for Success, so we help underprivileged.
Which is an incredible organization.
And we started really small. We raised like $2,000 and 300 pairs of shoes. Mm-hmm. And every year we get bigger and better. Last year, our Ohio event, we raised $65,000, all for Dress for Success and Zussman mm-hmm. Heritage Hospice. So this is our first D.C. event tonight.
Well, so that's sort of my question. I mean, why Ohio? Why D.C.? How did this all get moved around?
We are originally from Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
And that's how we all know each other. And mm-hmm. then, of course, my husband, Chef Adam Barnett.
Right. Who is now at Post.
Right. We moved here, and so we eventually want to go nationwide. So the first step, of course, is to come to D.C. where I already am.
Right. Of course. And so tell us about the event tonight. I mean, what's happening there? Do people need to bring shoes? I mean, how
Absolutely.
Does this work? Tell us
Absolutely.
How it works.
So we're doing a shoe raiser. So you get $5 off your admission if you bring new or gently used shoes, which are mm-hmm. all going to Dress for Success.
Okay.
It's a mixer. It's a happy hour. It's very low key, different from our black tie gala that we do in Ohio every mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. So this is people are going to come hang out. We're going to raise some money. We have a fantastic raffle. Of course, tons of restaurants.
All right, well, back up. Tell us about the raffle. What's in the raffle?
Back up, girlfriend.
We, of course, have, you know, my employer and Liberty Tavern, mm-hmm. who is so generous.
Oh, my God, all this food today they brought. What would you like, honey? You want some pizza?
I'm going to eat something. Okay. Go ahead.
They, of course, are donating pizza tonight for the event. Okay. But so I brought some in this morning to share. And then we have donuts from Lion Hall and fresh bread from Northside Social. But in Christie's Shoes, D.C. would not be successful without my networking through those mm-hmm. places. So the event's at O'Sullivan's, which is right next door to the Liberty. And the raffle has, of course, Liberty Tavern, Lion Hall, Northside Social, O'Sullivan's, mm-hmm. Eventide. All the community has come together mm-hmm. to support my cause. And then we've had
Isn't
anonymous.
That nice? It's such a good community. People are so generous.
We've had anonymous donors. We have an iPad mini, you know, that's going up for the raffle. And so we have about 25 different raffle items. So mm-hmm. it's going to be great.
And then people donate their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then those just get brought over to the other women. I thought Dress for Success was all new stuff, but it's not?
No, they take donations as well. I mean, they, of course, want newer, gently used things like this.
Don't
so
send your trash.
We will weed through if we get anything mm-hmm. that is not acceptable, you know, for us to donate.
And then what's your next step with this? I mean, are you looking to do this annually? You're looking for it to be bigger?
Well, our next event is our Ohio event, which is May 22nd, which is a black tie gala. Aruna Seth is our shoe sponsor this year.
Okay.
And she does stuff for Kate Middleton. So mm-hmm. we're really excited about that. We'll have a runway show. And then we're going to see how this goes. And then we're going to just keep moving up.
Hello, did
95.
You see Saks Fifth Avenue was just here?
Yeah.
What a partner
well,
that would be.
We switched information already.
Good. Because that would be a great partner.
Exactly
well, our third event was actually at Saks Fifth Avenue.
Oh, terrific. Well, just so you know, Saks does a tremendous event every September, a huge fashion event that takes over all of Tyson's.
Oh, awesome.
So maybe, and they always pick charities. So maybe that's something you guys can really work on.
And they always
have
shoes.
And they do. Always have shoes. They
I'm going to make sure that
wait,
everybody.
Wait. I want to hear about their punch. We're drinking punch.
So, Christy, you know, when she first got diagnosed with brain cancer, she was like, well, when life gives you lemons, you make mm-hmm. lemonade. And then you just add the vodka.
She sounds like my kind of girl.
So we, of course, always serve Christie's Electric Lemonade. So I made up a bunch for you this morning because mm-hmm. that'll be served tonight.
Christie sounds like she was a lot of fun.
I know. That's right. You guys are really good friends.
Yeah.
You really,
well,
really
we've
are.
Known each other for 25 years and our friendship just gets.
Were you all in the
crib together?
Crib, yes, yes. Crib.